You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Daniel, the third chapter, and we'll just see where this... I've taught on this before, not necessarily exactly what I'm teaching on tonight, but the passage of Scripture. You know, one thing about Scripture, you can just read it over and over and over, and you get more revelation the more you read it. And I've used text Scripture on so many different series, it amazes me that, you know, you just keep getting more stuff out of it. Although I use that Scripture, I never taught that truth, you know, that angle, that thing. And so another dangerous thing, if you read, you know, if you listen to CDs and tapes and read books and watch Christian television, that's a pretty dangerous thing to do because it inspires you. Are you with me? You know, and so I've been, of course, do that all the time anyway, and I've been messing around with T.D. Jakes, you know, and reading T.D. Jakes, and reading books by him. He'll get you stirred up, and anybody will. Amen? So anyway, in Daniel 3rd chapter, of course, this is the case where Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden idol, you know, his huge golden idol, and he was so proud of it. He's the king. Of course, he's a Babylonian. He's not a Christian. There were none back then. He wasn't a Jew. And he had a bunch of Hebrew slaves that he'd brought in. Of course, Daniel was one of them. This book is the book of Daniel. Three other guys named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was actually the Babylonian names. Their real names, the Hebrew names, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were taken captives and brought into the king's court, and they were their scribes and so on and so forth. Well, this king Nebuchadnezzar had set up this big idol, and he said all the pomp and ceremony of a king, you know, when he presented it to his kingdom and his crowd, he had all the music playing. He said, at the sound of the music, when you hear this playing and you hear the trumpet and you hear the lyre and the harp and all this stuff, everybody's going to fall down and worship this idol. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Hebrews. I mean, they're the children of the Most High. They're captives in a foreign land. They don't serve other gods. So naturally, when the sound of the trumpet and the sound of the lyre and the cymbals and all the symphony begin to play, everybody bows down but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't bow down. And of course, in any government, you know, there's politics involved. There were some men there, obviously, that didn't like the Hebrews. And so they came to the king and they said, you know, I'm paraphrasing greatly, so I don't have to read that whole chapter because it's very repetitive, you know. It talks over and over about these musicians playing and so on. And they said, oh, king, you know, when you've made this decree that everybody should bow down to this idol when you hear the music, well, there are some people that refuse to do that. And he said, well, bring them to me. And that kind of catches you up here. Notice the third chapter. Oh, let me go ahead and turn to it myself. Daniel 3 in the 12th verse. I'm reading New King James Version, incidentally. The 12th verse says, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made you, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who would deliver you from my hands? Oh, man, that's pretty stout, isn't it? I mean, he's not messing around. This is like a death sentence. But it's also a challenge to their faith. And, you know, he says, who is the God that would deliver you? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Mishael, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It says in the 16th verse that they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter, or we're not... You know, we don't need to defend ourselves concerning this thing. If that is the case, everybody say, if that is the case. If what is the case? He throws them in the fire. If it is the case, we don't worship you and you throw us in the fire. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Now, this is where a lot of them miss it. I get tickled at this because, you know, in the Hebrew, which our Old Testament comes from the Hebrew Masoretic text, and there's a translation of the Old Testament in Greek was done about 250 B.C. It's called the Septuagint. And many of the New Testament quotes, New Testament authors actually quote the Septuagint, the Old Testament. But the next verse says, but if not, and that's what it literally says in the Hebrew, and that's what it literally says in the Greek Septuagint. It doesn't, I think there are two translations, New Living Translation, New International Version. It says, if God does not, if he does not. But that's not what it says at all. It doesn't say he, and it doesn't say God. It says, but if not what? That's the question. You know, I've heard great sermons on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to give their lives. Well, I believe they were willing to give their lives. But that's not what they were saying here. When they said, if not, they said, if you don't throw us in the fire. Not if God does not deliver us. Because if you read right before that, they said, our God is able and he will. Are you with me? They didn't turn right around and say, but if he doesn't. After they said, he's able and he will, but if he doesn't. Well, there's two reasons that didn't make any sense. First, it didn't make any sense grammatically, because you wouldn't say, our God is willing, our God's able and he will do something, but if he doesn't. It wouldn't even make sense to say it that way. And secondly, you wouldn't tell the king, if God doesn't deliver us and we're dead, we're not going to worship your gods. What they were saying is that if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to worship your God. If you want to use that to keep us from worshiping your gods or to make us worship your gods, it's not going to work. If you're going to say, well, we'll let you live if you do, if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to worship your God. If it be the case, but if not, y'all see that? If it be the case, what's the case? You throw us in the fire. But if not, if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to worship your God. Now, that's the only way you can make sense out of it grammatically and even in context, that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying, I believe they were willing to die if they had to, but, you know, they made a statement. He challenged them. He said, who is the God that would deliver you? And they said, our God will. You throw us in that fire and he'll deliver us. And if you don't throw us in that fire, we're still not going to serve your God. He didn't say God was able. He says God's able and he will deliver us. Woohoo! Amen. Are you with me? Now, that's really not so much what I'm teaching on, because I've ministered on that before, but I think it's a very good point, and I think we often miss it. And if you're reading a new NIV or a New Living Translation, they arbitrarily put in the word he, and if he does not deliver us. That is not what he is saying at all in the Hebrew or in the Greek or in context at all. Every other translation I'm aware of just says, if that is the case, in 17th verse, and it says, but if not, in the 18th verse. They were definite. They were confident. They were exact in their response. God was able to deliver, and God will deliver. When they said, if not, they weren't talking about God's if not. They were talking about him, if not, throwing them in there. Well, this infuriated the king, obviously. See, they weren't concerned with, nor were they referring to God delivered them. They had already said that plainly. What they were saying was that this king wasn't going to be able to play with them. No matter what he did, they weren't going to serve his gods. I love that, that kind of stamina and fortitude and commitment to God, to serve God. No matter what happens, praise God. No matter what you do, what do you offer us or don't offer us, we are not going to bow down to your gods. Amen. Whew. Well, you know the story. The story continues. Are you with me? And it says here, let me get this up here, hallelujah. He was infuriated by this, obviously. 19th verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed. That means his blood vessels came out on the side of his neck, turned red, and started hollering. Okay? Y'all got that? An expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Woohoo! Man, boy, he's going to make it hard on God. And he commanded certain men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And these weren't non-flammable clothes. Hello. They had turbans, they had coats, they had everything. And then they were tied up. Therefore, 22nd verse, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the people that threw them in died because it was so hot. Mm. 23rd verse. Y'all tracking with me? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose. Everybody say loose. They're not bound. Walking. They weren't laying down. They were thrown down there, but they stood back up. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Woo! Fourth man in the fire. Yeah, how did he know that? I mean, it was just such an impression of God's presence. His power was so strong that the king himself recognized one likened to the Son of God walking around the midst with them, and they were freed. What a stand. I mean, what a commitment. You know, they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn. We often are afraid of what people say or do. But, you know, people will always stand up against us if you stand up for Jesus. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, in the world you shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He wasn't saying you're not going to get through it, you're not going to make it. He says, I've overcome it. And if I overcame it, you overcome it. I'll be there with you. I'll be with you to deliver you. Don't fear what man shall do to you. In this case, you know, they made a stand. Who is the God to deliver them from the fire? The God of the creation, the God of the heavens and the earth, our God, our Father. Hallelujah. That's who. And they proved it by their stand of faith. I think the world's looking for the God that can heal and the God that can set free and the God that can deliver and the God that can give peace and the God that can prosper. But there's got to be somebody that's going to be able to stand in the fire of persecution and stand in the fire of opposition and the fire of being made fun of, as it were, and ostracized and stand there and say, our God will, my God will. And they laugh and laugh and God shows up and you're the last one laughing and standing. 26th verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Now notice what he's saying. Servants of the Most High God. In other words, you're God's God, no doubt about it. Come out here. Come out. He's talking to them. There's this burning fiery furnace seven times hotter than it's ever burned. Burned up the men that threw him in there. And the king's hollering at him, saying, hey, y'all come out of there. And, of course, they come out. Woo! And they're all there, all these important people, these high officials. That's what's so neat. 27 verse, and the satraps and the administrators and governors and king's counselors, those are all, you know, areas of leadership and authority, gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The opposition had no power. The trial and the test had no power. The onslaught of the devil had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Woo! Are you with me? Not only were they not affected by the fire, but notice what happens here. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. Now, that's what it literally says in Hebrew and also in the Greek. NIV, New Living Translation, says willing to die. It's not even in there. It doesn't even say that. They yielded their bodies to their faith. They stood up for what they believed. They walked in what they confessed. they put their lives on the line in the sense that they trusted God and stepped into the fire, knowing they'd get back out of it. They yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, I don't know if you catching this. But that trial, that opposition, that fire, because they believed God, because they went into it trusting God, standing on the word, they not only were delivered from it, but they were promoted. And in trials in life and opposition in life come to all. They come to everybody. What you've got to do, in fact, really what the point I want to make, and I will get to this and we'll develop this somewhat here tonight, is that you've got to know who you are in the fire. You're not pagans. You're not worshiping other gods. You're children of the living God. You're sons and daughters of the living God. And you can overcome this. And what will cause other men to burn, you can overcome and walk in what burns other men. And when the devil throws his fire, he can heat it up seven times hotter than it's ever been. He can throw the biggest trial you ever had. He can throw all the opposition against you. He could throw sickness and disease and poverty and depression. He could throw his best shot on you, and all that fire is going to burn off you as your bindings and your things that really held you back. In fact, you'll come out stronger if you trust God. The only thing that will burn off you is the things that held you back. The test and the trial he threw at you to destroy you actually will push you up a little higher, and when you come out of it, you'll get promoted. I love that. If you know who you are in the fire. And you know who God is. In fact, knowing who God is how you know who you are. See, they weren't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's who they were. They weren't Babylonian names and pagan god names. And they knew who they worshipped, and they knew who their God was. See, Shadrach is just a Babylonian name. His real name was Hananiah, which means God has favored. That's what Hananiah means. And then Meshach, his real name was Mishael, his Hebrew name, was God, who is, what is like God, or what is what God is. Michael is who is like God. It's a form of Mishael. And then Azariah means God has helped, or Jehovah has helped. I love that. They're just dancing around in the flames knowing God has favored them and God is a deliverer and God has helped them and delivered them. They were aware of who God had called them and what God said about them, not what the fire doesn't define you. The fire just reveals you, that's all. The fire doesn't name you. The fire doesn't claim you. The fire doesn't tell you who you are. God tells you who you are. Your opposition doesn't define you. You are not blind, Bartimaeus. When you meet Jesus, the blind drops off. And the seeing Bartimaeus comes out. When you meet God, you're not just Jacob, the supplanter, the con man, you know, the schemer and the scammer. You're Israel, prince among men. You're Israel because God named him Israel, and that's who he really was. And you are who God says you are. Amen? And that's how you get through the fire, knowing who you are. If you don't know who you are, then you're not going to overcome. You can overcome what destroys most people by knowing your God, and in so doing, knowing who you are. And trials that are meant to destroy you actually will make you better people. Now, God doesn't send them. I don't believe that. I don't believe God's behind that fire. I don't believe God sent that fire. I don't believe God sends opposition or sends trials or sends tests or sends sickness or disease or depressions or all those things. But God definitely shows up and he walks around in it with you and he strengthens you and he encourages you because, you know, part of the growing process on this earth is using your faith. And what those trials do is give you an opportunity to use your faith. But I believe we grow in heaven too, and there's no trials up there. There's no test up there. You grow from using the word. You grow from standing on the Word. You grow from getting a picture of who God is and a picture of who you are. Now, it takes God to reveal that to you, and you have to quit looking at the opposition to define you. This weakness, this pain, Jabez, he was named by his, you know, by his mama because he, you know, he said he would cause pain. He said, God, I don't want to cause pain. I don't want that to be my name. Don't let me cause pain. He called out to God to come out of that negative concept of who he was. Jacob obtained a new name when he wrestled with God all night. Abraham's name was changed, Abram to Abraham. Good stuff, amen. Jesus started his ministry when God called him and claimed him. When he come up out of the water, he said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. See, you are who your father calls you. Y'all out there. I love that. You are who your father calls you. You know, Zacharias, when he had John the Baptist, John wasn't a name they used in their family, and his relatives wanted to name something else. And John, of course, John's father, Zacharias, had been deaf for 9 months because he questioned Gabriel when Gabriel said him and his wife were going to have a child in old age, him and Elizabeth. And so when the child was born, his tongue was loosed. And the angel had told him that your son's name would be John. And he said, his wife told him it was John. They said, well, nobody in your family's named John. They looked at Zacharias, and he opened his mouth and prophesied. Because, see, they were looking to the Father to name him. Sometimes we let weakness name us. We let trials name us, tragedies name us. And they claim us, you know. But if you know who you are, you come out of the fire. If you know what your daddy calls you. If you know what your father calls you. Look at Genesis 35. Here's another good one. Woo! You are who your father says you are. Genesis 35 is when Jacob comes. You know, he had that encounter with God. We taught on that one time here just a few weeks ago. He had an encounter with God, wrestled with God, and he wouldn't let him go till he blessed him. And he changed his name. He said, you know, he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He said, no, it's no longer Jacob. It's Israel. And it took an encounter with God to find out who he really was. You didn't know who you were till you got saved. You didn't know what was in you. You didn't know what future you had, what a destiny and hope you had. You didn't know you could make it till you found Jesus. When you found Jesus, hallelujah, you found out who you were. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? And the closer I get to God, the more I know about him, the more I see him, the more I find out who I am. Because you can't know you unless you know him. Isn't that right? And that's a pattern you see all through the scripture. Well, in this case, they were coming out of Padanaram up the north. That's where Jacob, you know, he deceived his father-in-law Laban and been up there 20 years. Of course, Laban had taken advantage of him. The deceiver got deceived. The schemer got scammed. And he had to work 7 years for Rachel, and he wound up getting Leah. And then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel, which he originally worked 7 years for. And then he worked another 6 years. He worked 20 years up there and had a bunch of kids. You know, they were called the children of Israel. And on his way back, he's Jacob. He has this encounter with God. God changes his name. And then right after that, Rachel begins to give birth. In tragedy, she dies in childbirth. Terrible, sad story. They were coming down to the land of Canaan. It's interesting that it wasn't until Jacob's name was changed to Israel that he came into the promised land. I just thought it was a good note to think about, you know, that all that time he was up north, out of the promised land, out of the will of God. Really, God wanted him there in the promised land. That was God's will. And it wasn't until his name changed that he began to experience the promises of God. Until he saw himself who he was, supposed to be who he really was, who God said he was. He didn't experience what God had for him. Till we see ourselves the way God sees us, we're not going to experience what God has for us. We're going to feel unworthy. We're going to feel like we don't measure, we don't make the mark, we don't count. Well, we're not Billy Graham, we're not Oral Roberts, we're not Kenneth Hagin, we're not Paul, we're not Peter. You know what I'm saying? All those excuses. But see, of course we're not them, but we are children of the living God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when we see who we are, we'll begin to experience the things that God has for us. And in the trial, in the opposition, we'll survive the opposition and we'll walk around in and dance around in the things that burn other men and women. We'll survive. Not only survive, we'll thrive. We'll come out without the smell of smoke on us. And if anything bound us and anything we had to overcome, well, actually the trial will just help us overcome that, and the bindings and the entrappings and the things that chains that bind us in the trial, we call out to God. We'll not just survive the trial, but our chains will fall off and we'll come out stronger, hallelujah, and get promoted because we know who we are. The world doesn't have a clue, but we know who we are. Isn't that right? So you need to know who you are in the fire. Well, in this case, this tragedy took place. Rachel, of course, died in the 35th chapter of Genesis. Notice the 16th verse says, then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, as she was dying, she called his name Benoni, which means son of sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand, or son of strength. Which name do you think stuck? Benjamin. Because you are who your father calls you. Isn't that right? She named him after the circumstance, after the pain, after the tragedy, after the heartache, after the sorrow. And she called him Benoni. But Jacob was his father. And Jacob called him son of strength, not sorrow. Son of my right hand. Son of my strength. Because really it always comes down to what your father calls you. That's who you really are. I love that. That's better than y'all are shouting. You may have called yourself something else. Other people may have called you something else. They may have put a label on you. They may have called you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you're actually Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You're favored to God. You're one who is like God, and you're the one who Jehovah delivers. Is that who you really are? Amen? Even when you get to heaven, you're going to get a new name. You know that? I love that. And by that you shall conquer. See, it's by our understanding of who we are, who God is and who we are, that we overcome, that we conquer. Turn to Ephesians 6. Is it helping you? Woo-hoo. I'm going to preach myself happy, I know that. In Ephesians 6 chapter, of course you're all familiar with this, I know you know this. Notice what it says in the 6th chapter, 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, that's what we got to get a hold of. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's God's take on it. That's what your father says. That's what daddy says. That's what he said about you. That's what he named you. Now, a lot of people go through life and never really get that relationship going. Or if they do get saved, they really don't study and spend much time with God or in his word and never really know what God thinks about them. But if you'll spend time with God, you'll find out who you are. You can walk in the fire. Amen? In fact, the rest of this chapter is talking about battle. It's talking about doing battle and talking about opposition. Talks about the devil that comes against us. Talks about trials. It talks about fighting in the midst of those trials. But you start by being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's how we overcome in the battle. We don't overcome in the natural. You know, until we quit looking at the color of our skin, as Martin Luther King says, that the day will come when a man will be judged by the content of his character instead of the color of his skin. Until we get past this, whether we got a black president or a white president or a Hispanic president, until we just have a president. Are you with me? Who cares what color he is? Are you with me? Until we get past the point, we got to elect a Hispanic, we got to elect a black, we got to elect a white. Well, who cares? I just want to elect somebody that believes what I believe, that believes the word, that stands for liberty and justice and truth in the American way. Are you with me? Till we get past all this racism, is what it is. It's just racism when we point to it. Every time I point to my skin, I'm just being a racist. Whether I'm black or white or what has that got to do with anything? You think God sees any of that? You're either saved or you're not saved. He doesn't care what color you are. And what do I care what color a person is? If he lies or tells the truth, that's what I care about. If he'll honor his word, he'll steal. If he's lazy or he's a hard worker, that's what I care about. Who cares what color anybody is? Why we keep bringing a thing up? Can't let it go. Well, we need to. We people, we ain't no we people. There's no we people here. We're Christians, believers. That's a colorless thing. That's the blood of Jesus making of one race all nations. No black church, white church. They're just church. Are you with me? But see, we make those kind of distinctions. We see ourselves that way. And that's we're always going down the wrong road when we do that. We're always going to go down the wrong road. Because I should identify with my Father in heaven and what he has done in me and who I am in him. That's how I'm going to survive the fire. You know, I was thinking of that song. Years ago, there's a guy came to our Lakewood Church. His name was David Diamond. And I think he's from Louisiana. Lafayette, Louisiana, I believe that's right. He had a little group. And this was years ago. We're talking about the 70s, mid-70s. And he had a song. Had a band. He got up and he started playing this song, a little bassy song, like this. And he was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And he goes, boom, 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 boom. And they didn't bow, and they didn't bend, they didn't burn. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, and there was four men in that fire. And he hollered in there, and he says, how do you feel? And then he starts up that bass, And they said, I feel good. I feel good. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good. And he starts dancing across the stage, you know. And Lazarus was in his tomb. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out. And he was wrapped from head to toe. And they said, loose him. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And they took the bandages off his head. And then it came around his eyes. And his eyes popped open. And it came around his nose. And he took a breath. And it came around in his mouth. And his mouth was open. And Jesus said, Lazarus, how do you feel? And that bass started. He said, I feel good. I feel good. And starts dancing across the stage. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good. I can't do the whole song, but anyway. I can just see that. Come out, talk to me, is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Hallelujah. You can survive death. You can survive the grave. You can survive the fire. Are you with me? If you know, see, Jesus called his name. I love that. He said, Lazarus. He didn't say, come forth. All the graves would have been open if he did that. He was the Son of God. I mean, if you said, come forth, without specifically saying who, every grave around in earshot of Jesus would have opened up, man. He said, Lazarus, come forth. So, Ephesians 6 says, be strong, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. This is who you are. This suit up, okay? You're God's army is who you are. You're God's soldiers. You're who God says you are. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not that you'd go under. Not that you'd lose. Not that he'd knock your feet out from under you and give you a sucker punch you and give you a black eye and take everything you got away from you. No, put this on so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Put this on so you can survive the fire of life. Find out who you are. Do you know who you are in the fire? That's how you get out of the fire, is knowing who you are. Now, God bless your mama. Take this with a grain of salt. You're not who your mama says you are. You're who daddy says you are. Your real daddy. Your heavenly daddy. Your heavenly father. You're not who the world says you are. You're not who the rulers of the day say you are. You're not a Babylonian name. No. You're favored of God's who you are. Your children of God are like God in that respect, and you are the one who God delivers and helps. That's who you really are. You're not a son of sorrow or a daughter of sorrow. You're a daughter and a son of strength is who you really are. You're not just an exalted father, Abram, but you're a father of many nations, Abraham. You're not just Jacob, a supplanter. You're Israel, a prince among men. That's who you really are. Not a Shadrach, a Meshach, and a Abednego. I had three cats, I named that one time. And Tomcat and two females. We call Shadrach was the Tomcat and Abby and Missy. Abednego and, okay. Anyway, find out who you are. That's how you'll get through the fire, and you'll come out better. You'll come out stronger. Well, he says this. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up. Everybody say, take up. Pick it up. Take it up. Come on. Well, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. You've been made worthy. You're washed in the blood. You're commanded to take it up. You're commanded to fight this fight. Not give in, not lay down in a fire. You're commanded to stand up and walk around with Jesus. You're commanded to win, to overcome. We're in it to win it. Amen. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth. Now, this is a teaching in itself, and I don't want to take it apart, but I want to get to a point here. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Wrap that around you. That'll hold you up. Truth will always hold you up. Having put on a breastplate of righteousness, have your heart full of the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ooh, I love it. And above all, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith by which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's how you survive the fire. Faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed God. That's what they did. They stopped the mouths of lion and quenched the fiery furnace. Hebrews talks about them in the 11th chapter, these heroes of faith, that by faith they did these things. By faith you can survive the fire and thrive. By faith you can overcome the opposition, but you got to know who you are to do that. You got to know who God is. You got to know who you are. And if you don't have the greatest thing, I think, the greatest revelation you can get besides a revelation of who God is a revelation of who you are. Obviously, you must know God to do that. That's the greatest thing, is to know Him. But you cannot know yourself until you know Him. When you know Him, you know He's for you, not against you. You know He loves you. He's the lover of your soul, the lifter of your soul. He's the one that changes and transforms you by the renewing of your mind. He's the one that stands you up on your feet and empowers you and breathes into you the breath of life. He's the one that protects you. He's the one that goes before you. He's the one that fights your battle. He's the one that you need to let rise and let your enemies be scattered. If you know Him, you can know yourself. If you know Him, you know yourself, and you can make it through the fire. Amen? You can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all, everybody say all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the opposition is. I don't know what the fire is. But whatever fire it is, it's a fire that can be quenched by faith. It's a fire that you, as a child of the living God, were ordained and destined to overcome. It is God's will that you win. You were born to win. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, I love it. I just love it. You take all this into prayer. You take this when you petition God. You keep this when you seek God. You come in suited up for battle to win. Not to lose, to win. That's who you are. You're a soldier of the Lord. Hey, one more, we'll close out. Turn to 1 John. And these are not things you don't know. I mean, I know you know these. 1 John 5th chapter. But it's good to think of it. Do you know what your Father called you? Your Heavenly Father. Because that's who you are. Isn't that good? I love that. I just think that's so good. I can walk in what burns other men. The only thing the devil does when he comes against me is make me stronger. If I believe God. If I trust God. The only thing what he does to tear me down and destroy me actually frees me up. I actually, through trials and tribulation, through test and opposition that the devil throws at me, I work on things. I become out stronger. I get free from things by addressing them and standing on the Word. It's the only thing that burns off me is just the things that have bound me. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. knowing this, the trial in your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, gives to all men liberally, who upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When a man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. Neither can he be tempted of evil. But a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his lust, and lust conceived. And that's good stuff. Amen? Now think about this. 1 John 5. We're just kind of fitting them all together. Are you with me? I know it's a lot of scriptures, but they all fit. That's what I do, is connect the dots, really. You know, you got a bunch of dots, and then I, as a teacher, take them, draw the lines, and connect them, and all of a sudden you get this picture. You go, oh, yeah. Oh, I see that. That's what he was saying there and there and there. Oh, yeah. It's like a puzzle. You know, you got this piece. You got all the pieces. We're just fitting them together and looking at the big picture. 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. How about you? You believe Jesus is Christ? Well, this is who you are. You're born of God. And everyone who loves him who begat loves God, also loves him who is begotten of him, loves his children. If we love God, we love the children of God. First commandment, love God with all your heart. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Makes good sense. Notice what it says in the fourth verse. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he? Who is that man? Who is that woman? Who is he who overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who you really are. I am a world overcomer. Amen. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. God says that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world and the fire and the fiery darts of the wicked one and the opposition and the test and the trials and all the strategies of the devil. Ah, let the devil holler. Let him scream. Let him throw his best shot. We've heard the wind blow before. When it's all over, we'll still be standing because of who we are. Because of who he is and who we are. We're not sons and daughters of sorrow. We're sons and daughters of strength, of his right hand. That's what Benjamin means, son of my right hand or son of my strength. That's what that is. That's who God named us. That's who God called us. We're those who he has favored. We're ones who are like him, children of God. As he is, so are we in this world. And we're the ones that Jehovah helps. He helps us. He favors us and he helps us. That's who we are. Hallelujah. We are children of God and we are born to overcome the world. We have royal blood running through our veins. We are thoroughbreds. Hallelujah. Bred to win through the word and through the faith that God's given us. Don't you stay in that fire. You come on out of that fire. Amen. Don't you let it burn you up. You walk around in there and get strong. Come out a better man and a better woman. Do you know who you are in the fire? See, we get wrapped up in what's going on and forget who we are. Forget what manner of man we are. Wow. I don't want to do that. I don't want to forget who I am. Jesus paid a great price for me. He died on the cross, shed his blood, went to hell, rose again, got the keys of hell and death, come out victorious, and sat down on the right hand of God so I could overcome, so I could win. That's who I am.